The Gospel of the Lord according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me." Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you cursed, it into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome Me. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. So this concludes St. Matthew's 25th chapter here. And if you remember, going back a couple Sundays, we talked about the judgment that happens when you are not prepared, right? That was the story of the 10 virgins. And we continued it last week. How many people remember what that one was? That was the story of the talents, right? And the God giving you these talents, and what are you going to do with them? And the person who does nothing with them, what happens? Not good, right? Not good. So here again now he sums everything up, and he talks about when the Lord is going to come in all His majesty and glory, what's it going to look like? Pretty sight, isn't it? Can you imagine that, the sight? I mean, I can't comprehend it myself, how awesome it's going to be. However, the message isn't what we as Christians want to hear, is it? We want Him to hear, He's going to come and say, "All right, everybody come with Me. I want everybody with Me." Is He going to say that? No, that's not what this says, is it? This is hard because it talks about that big J word, judgment. Judgment. We hate it. We do it. We hate it when it's rendered against us. And some of us, we really say, "Well, we're not judging you." Really? Are you not? I see an awful lot of that here lately. Awful lot. And we say, "Well, biblically, we don't do that. We leave that to God." Okay. Well, we say that. We're going to actually say that here after the message and the response. And we're going to say what we call the Apostles' Creed, right? And in the Apostles' Creed, we say, to judge the living and the dead, right? Or the quick and the dead, whichever version. So we're asking God to judge us, right? And you say, "Well, gosh, why would we want that? Why would God judge us?" Because He cares. Because He truly, genuinely loves us. Let me ask you this. So you're all parents. And when your child does wrong, do you not
correct them or discipline them. You don't do it because it's fun. You do it, I heard these words from my mother. It's because I love you. Right. As a kid, right. But it is the truth. And me as a dad saying to my daughters, it's because I love you that I want that car parked outside by noon. Well, noon would be great, but be a little unrealistic. Midnight. I said, I better see the car parked in the driveway at midnight. You're just not reasonable. You're not fair. I love them. I want to keep them around. So God judges us because he loves us. But what I find the most interesting of this whole parable, and maybe you picked up on it when I read it, was not only did the people on the left react surprised, the ones that were going to inherit the kingdom, right? Not only did they act surprised, but so did the ones on the right, the goats, right? They were surprised that God was going to judge them. Were they not? They were surprised at the verdict of his judgment, weren't they? Did you notice when he and I'll give you a really good example of what that looks like. See, what many pastors do and many people do when they read this, they go, well, gosh, that just shows it. It's a works righteousness thing he's saying. It's by your works you get in, your good works you get into heaven. That's not what it's saying. Gosh, don't go there. Okay, don't go there. Because the statement still remains, we are saved by grace through faith, right? That does not change this at all. Because what's happening here, first of all, Jesus uses a word, inherit, right? He says, enter the kingdom which you have inherited. So what does it mean when you inherit something? Did you do anything to deserve that? You did absolutely nothing, right? I know. My father has told me many times I was out of the will. I was out of the will. Okay, I live out of the will. So it doesn't, okay, fine. But the point is I can't do anything for if there's anything there when he goes on. It was all because of what he did. And Christianity is the same way. And Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. It's that inheritment that we receive from Christ, from God through Christ, because of the cross, and he rose again. We can't do anything. Now you say, well, gosh, well, then why is he talking about all this stuff? Why does it matter? Because let me tell you, so Martin Luther makes a very bold statement on the one end here. And a lot of people don't like it, but I get it. We do nothing good. We do nothing good. God, through the Holy Spirit, does good things through us. So in other words, if I say that I gave you this money, I'm giving you this money, who am I giving it? For who am I trying to seek the praise? Me, right? That's not the way it works. But the reason that the people on the left, the righteous people, are shocked is because that's who they are. When we become a Christian and we enter into that relationship with Christ, this becomes who we are. We don't sit there and think about helping someone. We don't. I'll give you a great example of what that looks like. You guys know my wife, Chris, right? She's the most amazing woman I know, next to my grandmother who's in heaven. But she's amazing. And I've seen her. I've seen people be absolutely ugly to her
But as soon as they were had a need, she put it all aside, and the nurse in her took charge. She was there to help. She was there to see that they got what they needed. You see, she wasn't acting because of herself when she does that. She acts because she's a nurse. She genuinely is what she does. What do you think the world would look like if we as Christians genuinely did what we proclaim? Years ago, I don't know if you guys remember the magazine, the Lutheran? We used to get it when we were on council at one of my first churches, and it was interesting. There were a lot of good articles, but there was one article in there written by a lady who was, I think she was an atheist. And she said, she had this conversation, and she said, what I truly don't understand, if this Jesus Christ is really who Christians proclaim he is, why in the world are they always so uptight and so worried and so fearful? Why? It's a great question. And that leads me to, why do you think the people, the goats, were cast out? Why were they surprised? You see, the Christian is going to see somebody, and they're not going to think, well, gosh, if I help them, then I can't help me. And if I help them, or if I do this, then I'm not going to be able to do this. No, they just do it, right? They just do it. Now, that doesn't mean every single cotton picking time you have to do something, no. But you act out of the Spirit moving you to help someone, and you don't question it. Now, on the other side of that, you have... I came to church today. Didn't see you. Know them? Well, I donated all this money. Where's my name? You ever meet that crowd? I read the Bible all the way through this year. Did you? I gave to the food bank. Did you? You get where I'm going. Yes, they do all the things. They attend worship. They donate. They do things. However, who's it about? Who's it about? Who's it not about? Christ. You see, I think Luther's got it right. I think he does. And I honestly believe this is not about works righteousness. This is because if we truly, our hearts and minds are truly in that relationship with Christ, then we're gonna do whatever it takes, whatever the Spirit presents us at that time. We're going to do it. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it requires sacrifice. But you know what? We joyfully do it. Therefore, when we stand there on that day, we still know we can't get in without somebody right here, without Jesus. We still can't do it. Because we do it because of Jesus, and because of God loves Jesus and loves us through him. Can you not see it? So we're not even thinking about that. We're just trying to do things for the kingdom, right? Whereas the other person... Well, I can imagine when he got up there and he started reading out, this is why you do this, this is what, I'd start to get worried myself. I start to think about, whoa, how about the time I didn't do this, you know, that would be me. I'd be worried. And then Jesus would say, have no fear. So you can see this is scary, is it not? This truly is scary. Very scary. But there's hope. There's absolutely hope that every one of us can get to where we need to be. Is it not?
Hello,
everyone. Hello.
Remember me?
We do.
Oh, yeah.
I met you this morning.
Have a seat.
Did you know
that? Have a seat.
Well, I have good news. I have bad news, too, but I got good news.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up real quick here. There is hope. We will be judged. The good news is
is we're standing there with Jesus. The good news is that we genuinely do care. And we do try to do the righteous thing. God loves you, and so do I. Amen?
Amen.
Our response hymn.